Aloha, I'm Professor Butch Finley, and welcome to the DKI APCSS podcast, What is Complexity? Here's the ideas that we want to talk about over the next few minutes. What does it mean to say something is complex? We use the word often. We often interchange it with ideas of complicated, simple, those kinds of things. We want to talk about what that really means. We want to look at four kinds of problems that decision makers face in the real world. Chaotic problems, simple or obvious problems, complicated problems, and complex problems. Obviously, we're going to spend more time on complex problems, but we need to understand how it differs from the other kinds of problems that we face. Then we're going to look at what is a complex adaptive system. We encourage you to think in terms of systems, not in terms of situations or problems. I'll explain why in a little bit. So let's start. What is complexity? The dictionary defines it as the state of being complex. That really doesn't help us very much, does it? We're not going to try to find a precise legal definition that will satisfy everyone. We're going to use a basic working definition that you see at the bottom of the slide. Something that is so complex, so many interwoven parts with so many connections, that the whole is hard to understand, no matter how hard you try. You just can't get a handle on the full ball of wax, okay? Back in the 1960s, Dan Snowden, working at IBM, came up with what he called the Kinevan model framework for problems that decision makers face. He said there's four kinds. There's the obvious problem on the lower right side. He originally called them simple. That's now been converted to obvious. Then chaotic problems on the lower left, complicated problems on the top right, and complex problems on the top left. Let's talk through each one of those in a little bit more detail. Okay? A chaotic problem is one that follows a cause that creates a situation in which all of the systems are broken down. You simply cannot understand what's going on, why things are happening the way they are. Here's a picture of a riot after a soccer game in a well-developed country that's normally quite peaceful, and then suddenly you had this. You cannot understand why they're burning what they're burning, why they are where they are. It's simply chaotic. Okay? The next type of system is the simple or obvious system. We call it obvious because both the problem and the solution are obvious. It's simple. Flat tire is a little example. Okay? The system consists of only a few elements. A tire, a car, air, tire tools, and probably a rusty old nail. Okay? You don't need special expertise to understand or fix this problem. There's a simple answer, and you go about your business and do it. Okay. Complicated problems, a little different, involve a lot more parts, a lot more factors are involved. They are connected in ways that are linear in nature, just like the airflow that you see on this engine. Example of a jet engine. If it fails, if it breaks down, with enough expert knowledge and enough effort, you can find the exact problem, the exact part that needs to be replaced. And when you do that, the system will function in a very predictable way. You'll know that when you turn it on, air comes in the front and thrust goes out the back every time. Complex problems are a little different. Here's an example focused on shareholder profits, just as an example. You'll see three subsystems in this particular one. On the left, there are environmental issues. On the right, there are social considerations. And in the middle, there are management decisions that are all tied together. All of these are interdependent. Change any one of them, and you change all of them. Because of the interdependence, it's hard to know exactly how that's going to work out. And that's what makes complex problems so hard, okay? We've been talking about systems, and I said you ought to think in terms of systems. Well, let's put a definition out there. Again, there's no common definition, but let's use a simple working definition so we understand how it works. A system is simply two or more parts connected together in some way. Might be physical, might be a process, might be location. They're connected in some way. And the system exists to produce a result, whether it's a created system or a system that man put together on his own. That notion of systems producing results changes how we think. And that's why I said we should condition ourselves to think in terms of systems. You're concerned about a result, not the causes of the result. You're not concerned about the situation per se. There's something going on that you like or don't like that you want to change. And that's the result. It comes from a system. So you have to understand the system in order to get the result you want. Okay? Let's expand on the difference between complicated and complex, because those are the two words that we most often use interchangeably. We'll say things like, the world is more complex now, or relationships between Japan and China are complicated, when we really mean they're complex. Okay? So complicated systems, as I said earlier, are linear. Okay? Lots of different parts connected together. And if you look at this diagram, if you start on the lower left with the blue dot, you'll see that all of the connections run, no matter which one you choose, that you end up with the dot on the right-hand side, the yellow dot on the right-hand side. Okay. What this means is that with enough expert knowledge, it's not necessarily easy to see. I couldn't understand a jet engine. I'm not a jet mechanic. But with enough expertise, you can go up and down that linear line of events. You can see how it works going right to left, or you can backtrack until you find the problem in the system going from right to left. Okay? That gives the predictability to complicated systems. No matter how complicated they are, no matter how many parts there are, eventually you can understand them and you can create predictable results. That's what we've all been trained to do. We've been trained to analyze the problem, come up with courses of actions, and get the result we want. Now, if you compare that with complex systems, you get a little different picture. Again, multiple parts, but this time those parts are interdependent. Change any one of them and you change all of them. You've noticed the arrows go in various different directions. Start with that dot on the left side, the blue dot. You'll see there's a yellow arrow going to the white dot, then a yellow arrow going down to a blue dot, and then a yellow arrow going back to the first dot that we talked about. You get a feedback loop. You get interactions that A changes B, changes C, changes A. Makes it very difficult for us to determine exactly what the value is for any one of these things. Okay? That makes it a very unpredictable system. That doesn't mean that there are not patterns that we can't tell within certain parameters how much the system is going to react and in what direction. Unless it's a completely chaotic situation, complex systems will show patterns over time. They will emerge as we watch. We may not be able to predict ahead of time what they're going to be, but we can see them and use them to some degree. Okay? Let's look at some of the characteristics in a little more detail, a quick review. Interdependence simply means that there are lots of parts connected together, and that if they are biological parts, they have a mind of their own. Each one of these parts in the system is doing things for its own purposes. That's why we sometimes call this multi-mindedness. There are many minds involved. Feedback, nonlinear logic, or circular logic, as it's sometimes called, emergent patterns, and then the notion of openness, or what we may call user-defined boundaries. What do we mean by these things? Just to go into a little more depth. Okay? Multi-mindedness. You see a picture of the stock market on the top and the traffic problem on the bottom. Thousands, if not millions, of people involved, each one acting in their own interest for their own purposes, but each one affecting one or more, if not all of them, collectively. Okay? Feedback loops. I'll give you an example to help maybe reinforce what feedback is all about. A causes B, and B causes A to change. We'll use a well-known idea of a security dilemma, arms race, that kind of thing, to draw this out a little more. Okay? You may have a situation in which a nation, state A, does things for its own purposes, not intending to cause problems, does things to increase its security. As we like to say in the diplomatic world, this is not aimed at any third nation. Okay. However, state B looks at what state A did, and state B gets insecure. They interpret it as a threat, whether it's intended or not. State B then takes action to increase its military readiness, its military power, for the purpose of counterbalancing state A. State C looks at this and says, I don't like what state B is doing. I feel insecure. Therefore, I need to increase my military power to offset state B. As state C increases its military power, state B notices it, feels more insecure, re-increases its military power, makes state C insecure, which increases it, and you get this loop, this reinforcing feedback that says B changes C, changes B. A may be affected by this, but the real loop is at the bottom. Okay? We talked about emergent patterns. You take this mob of ants on the left. There is no pattern there. They're just kind of roaming around the leaf doing whatever they're doing. Over time, we don't know how or why, they'll decide they're going to move. And they will self-organize into a line of march and go off and do whatever ants do as to get through their little daily march. Okay? Complex systems may not be predictable in their specific results at a moment in time, but these kinds of patterns of behavior may show up. They act within certain parameters over time. In fact, Lynn Fisher wrote this book called The Perfect Swarm to describe some of these emergent patterns out of complexity in daily human life. You might want to read it if you want, or if you're interested in emergent patterns. Okay. Fourth characteristic is openness. That simply means the system has no inherent boundaries. There's nothing to say that this is or is not in the system. Openness means that the system we're looking at receives inputs, receives influences from far away. Everything's connected to everything. You may have heard of the butterfly effect, the idea that a butterfly in Beijing flapping its wings may cause a tornado in Kansas. Okay. Taken to its extreme, here we are in space, on Earth. We are connected to the universe, the ultimate closed system. We're in an open part of it. That means that every star, every being on those stars affects us in some way. Maybe a minuscule effect, but nonetheless, it has an effect. That goes all the way down to the small, complex, adaptive system you see on the right, a work team. Okay, those four people, multi-minded, doing their own thing for their own purposes to try to produce a common result. We define. User defines what is part of the system and what is not. Given the universe, we need some help in doing that, and so we use tools of assumptions and frames to help us set manageable, practical boundaries on what we're looking at. Okay? So in closing, We talked about what does complex mean. It means the notion of lots of interconnected parts that are so many and so interconnected that it's difficult to grasp, if not impossible to understand, the system as a whole. We talked about the four kinds of problems that decision makers face. Chaotic problems, things that are completely broken down and there's no apparent cause and effect going on at the time. Simple problems are almost the exact opposite. The cause and the effect and the solution are there, they're obvious. Then we looked at the difference between complicated systems and complex systems. Basically the notion of interdependence and feedback and open system design, creating in complex systems unpredictability. And then we talked through the characteristics of a complex adaptive system. That closes this session. Thank you very much for your time.